Nixon. Bah, 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 as most children hear. Bah, 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 bah. Got it? So they go off, they turn, and they go their merry way. And so several minutes pass. That turns into many more minutes. 30 minutes to an hour pass. And the mom walks around the house, and she walks around the house a little bit more. And then she says, "Kids, to the kitchen!" The kids come eventually to the kitchen. They get in front of her, and she says, "Did you not listen? Were you not paying attention to what we said?" And they said, "Sure we listened. We just didn't hear any of it." So sometimes we listen without hearing. Sometimes we may be present, but we're not presently understanding anything. There's a really neat phrase in Hebrews 2. It says, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention." That mom wanted her kids not just to be present and to hear the words that are coming out of her mouth in one ear and out the other, but what she wanted was for them to listen, to understand, and to do. And so as it pertains to Hebrews 2 verse 1, we must pay much closer attention. I think we need to listen to God much more. I think we need to understand much more about our God. And it also might be the case for you in your life. I know it is in mine. I need to do much more for Him. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Angels, authors, to pique your interest. But quite frankly, I'm hoping that God gets our attention. Let's pray. Holy Father, we pray that we'll be much better listeners to Your Word, to Your will, to Your Spirit. We pray that as we observe Jesus and the men who followed Him, the men who were led by Your Spirit to record Your writings in Scripture, we pray, Father, that we will be better observers, that will listen and see, and that will do. We don't want to be hearers only, but people who put it into action. Father, as believers, we want to be strengthened and empowered by You in a relationship through Jesus with Your Spirit in us. And as we live a life of power and strength, God, we know that You will work wonders. And we pray for that. We pray for big things to be done in each of our individual worlds, but collectively, Father, in Your world and in this community, that we can be a light. We can be set on a hill. Not because of our greatness, but because of the greatness that You have that is evident and obvious in us. We pray we let You do that work. Help us, God, to be better tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have your Bible open. We're going to be in Scripture tonight. Not meaning that we're ever not in Scripture, I hope. But definitely tonight. I don't want you to take my word for it, but rather, take God's word for it. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." What are we paying attention to? What does it mean, pay attention to it? You see, that "it" is not just a random phrase meaning random things at any point in time, but there is a very specific meaning for what it is. My dad would say this. My dad's a preacher, if you don't know. And so I get my corniness and all of my sayings from my father. So you can blame him, not me. It's not my fault. It's dad's fault. And so dad would always say this. When you see a "therefore," you have to go back and notice what it's there for. Now, you've probably been in the pew and heard that many times. Well, that's a great tool for Bible study. And so if you notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, it begins with the word "therefore." Now, what has it been placed there for? Do you get it? It's still not funny. What is it there for? All of chapter 1. The Hebrew writer assumes that we've just digested all of the first chapter, except when he wrote it, there were no chapters. So the recipients would have just thought, okay, you have this big long statement, which we call chapter 1, and now here let me make a point about it all. What's the point of it all? Skip back to Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. So God used to speak to people through prophets, men, carried along by the Spirit who spoke for Him. And now it's saying, under the new covenant, there's been a covenant regime change. Jesus is the spokesperson of God. And now there's verses 3 and 4, a description of Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the power of His word. Now, after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So, what is it that we're supposed to pay much more attention to? Jesus. Absolutely, Jesus. Jesus is better than the prophets who God originally spoke through. Jesus is better than the patriarchs who preceded them. Jesus is better than all the apostles who came after Him. Jesus is better than anything else, even angels in all their majesty. You know, angels in that Hebrew culture had quite the reputation. There's a text in Acts chapter 7, verse 38 that gives them credit for bringing about some of God's law. And different times in different passages in the Psalms and throughout the Old Covenant, angels are lifted up and they're glorified in some sense, in one way or another. And to Hebrews, to Jews, and which by the way, you do know how Hebrews got its title, because the recipient of the letter were probably Hebrews. If you didn't know that one, that's a freebie for tonight. And so they, no doubt, had this exalted understanding and thought of who angels were. And so when the Hebrew writer comes onto the scene and he's like, hey, this guy Jesus, he's not just better than prophets. Listen to verse 4. His name is even better than any other name, and He's even better than all the angels. And the rest of Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 5 to the end of the chapter, is talking about Jesus' supremacy over angels. Now, we have people today who are obsessed with angels. There's angelology, the study of angels. There are movies all about them. Books and books have been written about them. I don't know much about angels, other than the fact that one day I want to be up in heaven, I want to be like one. I do know this. Our Savior's better. Even the majesty and the glory that an angel has, coming down in adorned in white robes, oftentimes set apart from regular humanity. When angels sat on the stone that was rolled away. When angels were walking down in the dream, walking down and surrounding and singing, or even John as he appeared up into heaven and saw all those angels there. Jesus is better than all of them. So what are we supposed to be paying much closer attention to? We're supposed to be paying much closer attention to Jesus. Why? Man, Jesus, He's way better than angels. Jesus is even way better than miracles. The text talks about, at different times, how God used miracles to communicate to people. It was miraculous that men spoke on behalf of the Father. That God spoke and Moses said it. That God spoke and Joshua said it. That God spoke and Solomon recorded it. God spoke and David did this. God spoke to all these men and Abraham did it. God spoke to all these different people and Isaac, and the list could go on and on and on. It was miraculous in the speaking. Jesus, when He came onto the scene, He said, I speak just as the Father has spoken unto Me in John 16. And when He spoke, oftentimes He accompanied that speaking with miracles. Wonderful miracles that I could go on and on and on about. But guess what? Jesus, He's even better than His miracles. And His miracles were great, but He's better than those miracles. We must be paying much closer attention to the supremacy of Jesus, greater than prophets, greater than angels, greater than miracles, and anything that this world has ever seen. But why? Why pay much closer attention? Are you looking at the text? Back to Hebrews chapter 2. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. If we don't, that slip could become the drift, and that drift could become the thing that we turn away from God because of. We must pay much closer attention because our lives are hanging in the balance. One author, an individual, said, as a matter of, well, I won't tell you who he is, but this author made the statement, there were only ever one generation from falling away from faithfulness to the Father. That was a mouthful, but it's true. Don't let your slip become your drift. And we need to pay much closer attention so we never get into the slip, so we don't have the drift, so we won't be in a position where we might turn away from the Father. Pay much closer attention. Here's why. If we start to drift away, let me give you a description of what that might look like. When Christianity is anything other than centered on Jesus, and I know that nobody here would claim that they live that type of Christianity, which, by the way, that's not Christianity. It's churchianity. You see, I believe there are two different and opposing lifestyles. Everybody's trying to do pretty much the same thing, but there's Christianity and then there's churchianity. You want me to tell you what the difference is? Christ is at the center of one, and me and my church are at the center of the other. Here's churchianity. I can tell you way more about our traditions than I can about God's scriptures. Churchianity speaks oftentimes about the history of the past 60 years, but doesn't know a whole lot about what happened almost 2,000 years ago. Churchianity. Churchianity, if somebody's living it out, is an individual who will not just say, hey, I'm going to go to church, but they actually practice going to church. What does that mean? You go to a building and just sit for a while, you yawn, you get hungry, you leave, you go eat, you go home. And it doesn't really make an impact in your life. That's called churchianity. Churchianity is somebody stuck on tradition but doesn't know Scripture. Churchianity is somebody who goes to church and doesn't come to worship the Father. Christianity is centered on Jesus. That person is obsessed with the Savior. That person is consumed with the message of the Christ. That person, you see, they don't just go to church. They come to worship. They come to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. That person living out Christianity, a Christ-centered life and faith, is an individual that doesn't really care all that much about tradition, but rather, God, lead me through the Scriptures. Let me be wherever the text leads me, where your Spirit guides me, what Jesus has told me to be. Are you living Christianity or churchianity? Because it's not my church. It's Christ's. And it's not my life. It's Christ's. So you may be the person that God has prepared this message for today. We must pay much closer attention to the things that we've heard, the message about the supremacy of Jesus, and our lives must be even more centered on Jesus. And so that means that Jesus, I don't just get Jesus on Sunday. It means Jesus isn't just my Wednesday night. It means Jesus is my Monday, my Tuesday, so on and so forth, my morning, my afternoon, my evening. Jesus is my everything. He is my all, as we sing songs oftentimes. But is it true? We must pay much closer attention to it, I think, because God knew we'd be tempted to slowly drift away from it. An individual was converted to Christ from way up north, coming down, living in the Arkansas area, converted to Jesus in an area that he didn't know the culture, didn't know the history, really didn't know the people all that well, got a different job changed down into Arkansas, living a different life, he and his family around different sets of people, but one disciple of a man, an elder at one of the local churches, came to this guy, met him in town, befriended him, discipled him, led him to Jesus, and this guy became a Christian. And so the preacher who's telling the story starts to preach about, hey, church, let's read through Acts in the next little while, and then let's try and become an Acts church. And so he sets the congregation off, and it's not just in their assembly, but throughout the week. And so weeks pass, and this one particular man, this man from up north, the recent convert, who had no baggage, had no background, and no set of beliefs, knocks on the office. Preacher, come on in. Man comes and sits in front of his desk. He asks one question. When are we going to get to the good stuff? He's like, what are you talking about? It's not lunch yet. What are you talking about? Good stuff. He said, you're telling us to read Acts, right? Yes. Well, I've been reading in Acts, and particularly I've read Acts chapter 2. And he said, it was amazing what happened in Acts chapter 2. After that little sermon was preached, and he said, little sermon. After that little sermon was preached, thousands were added to the church, verse 41 to verse 47. And day by day, verses 42 to 46, day by day, they were attending the temple together in each other's homes. They were eating and fellowship and devoting themselves to the prayers and the teachings of the apostles. And it was amazing. This guy said, when are we going to get to the good stuff? And the preacher kind of sat back. What do I tell him? Do I tell him that thousands aren't being baptized? Do I tell them that we really don't meet in each other's homes? Do I tell them that there's a lot of people that aren't devoted to living a life of prayer? Do I tell them that we don't actually look like the Acts 2 church? What do I tell them? The preacher said. Maybe we need to get back to the good stuff. And maybe it starts with you. Why aren't people being immersed into Christ? Might be because we're not asking them to be. Why are we not meeting in each other's homes and talking about what the apostles and disciples of Jesus mentioned we should talk about? Maybe because you're not inviting people to. Maybe because our schedules are too busy and we'll just cut that part out. Why are we not a people of prayer? And why is this not a house of prayer? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know, but maybe we need to get back to the good stuff. The Acts 2 church stuff. And maybe we need to pay much closer attention to the things that we've heard. Are you listening to Jesus today? Hope so. What about tomorrow? I hope in some way this empowers you to live a life more connected to the Lord, seeing how He's working His will both in you for His will and for His good pleasure, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, because He is. But are you listening? Angels? Don't really care about them. Who wrote Hebrews? Don't know. But are we paying attention? If you haven't been, for the love of our God, start tonight. Why not tonight? Let's stand and sing it.
Oh, do not let the word depart.